Are you just listening to God's word or actually living it? In Ezekiel chapter 33, God calls out a people who loved the message but refused to obey, and their land became a wasteland. In this Old Testament Tuesday, we look at how Israel's false security mirrors our churches today and why Washington and every believer must move from being hearers only to doers of the word of God. Stay with me because this could expose the deception in your own spiritual life. Let's dive in. Welcome to the Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. That's fpiw.org or fpiwaction.org. And it is Old Testament Tuesday. It is my favorite day of the week. Some people call it Taco Tuesday. We call it Old Testament Tuesday. All right, we are in Ezekiel chapter 33, and if you're enjoying this series on Ezekiel, I want to encourage you to subscribe, like, share, and comment. And if you are in that Washington Defender app, place this inside of your huddle. Also, if you're a financial supporter of FPIW or FPIW Action, thank you so very much for your generosity. You are helping us lay a foundation that goes on forever. It's just a great, firm foundation, and we are greatly appreciative. We are seeing so many of you respond and helping us out on a monthly basis. So thank you. Thank you very much. What are we trying to accomplish here? To change our hearts so that we change the public square. We want the gospel message to go out into every nook, cranny part of Washington that we can imagine. We want our pastors to be on fire for Jesus, that they would be saved, you might say. Hopefully they are. And that they would have a love for God's word and just really begin to preach the whole counsel of God's word. We also want our elected officials to be saved, and we want them to create policy that is good for our neighbor so we can love our neighbor. So we are in Ezekiel chapter 33. Last week, we got through verses 1 through 20. This week, we're going to work through 21 through 33. Of the book. It says, now, in the 12th year of our exile, on the 5th of the 10th month, the refugees from Jerusalem came to me saying, so here we have Ezekiel, he's in Babylon, and we see he has some refugees coming from Jerusalem to speak to them, saying the city has been taken. Okay, so he has this message that has finally arrived to him. And verse 22, now the hand of the Lord had been upon me in the evening before the refugees came, and he opened his mouth. At that time, they came to me in the morning. So my mouth was opened and I was no longer speechless. So prior to this, we see a lot of what Ezekiel had to say was speaking of the future and the consequences of Jerusalem and their decisions and judging many of the nations around because they had acted against God's city and against God's people, and Israel had been disobedient. So here we have kind of a transition point. And so we are going to talk about when consequences arrive. Let's look at verses 23 through 29. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, they who live in those in these waste places in the land of Israel are saying, Abraham was only one, yet he possessed the land. So to us who are many, the land has been given as a possession. Therefore, say to them, thus saith the Lord God, you eat meat with the blood in it. Lift up your eyes to your idols as you shed blood. Should you then possess the land? You rely on your sword. You commit abominations, and each of you defiles his neighbor's wife. Should you then possess the land? You see that question? It's twice so far. Thus you shall say to them, thus saith the Lord God, as I live, surely those who are in the waste places will fall by the sword, and whoever is in the open field, I will give to the beast to be devoured. Those who are in the strongholds and in the caves will die in pestilence. I will make the land a desolation and a waste place, and the pride of her power will cease. And the mountains of Israel will be desolate so that no one will pass through them. Then they will know that I am the Lord when I made the land a desolation and a waste place of all their abominations which they have committed. All right, so we see that there is a false security, and there can be a huge danger of having religion that deceives us. In other words, we think, well, you know, I'm born again, so I'm protected from this. I can do it however I want. Yet God is pointing out that their religion here is a deception to them because they think, well, we're in the land, so we've got to be protected. We're in the land. We got to do this. And God is saying, no. You break my commandments. You do the things that are abomination to me. You do all of these things, and I see it. Now, what's really interesting about this is that when Mark Twain visited the land of Israel, he said it's a desolate place. And others who visited in that era before 1948, they talked about the desolation of the land. This was actually prophesied in, here in Ezekiel, and that this would be how the land would be looked at. And so we know that Israel's disobedience, both you know then and now, is not about Israel. You say, what do you mean? Israel is God's chosen nation. Understand that. But it's to show the reflection that God is faithful to his commitment to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So many in today's culture are trying to say, well, Israel isn't perfect enough. Israel isn't holy enough. Israel isn't righteous enough. How could they be God's chosen people? Yet you're forgetting something. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still in our sin, Christ was buried. While we were still far from God, he knew us and foreknew us. So God's word is ultimately true, and his promises are secure. Why? Not because of our self-righteousness, but because of his righteousness. So he says, you've done all these things. He says, I will make the land desolate, which he did, make it desolate for many, many years. And then he says, then they will know that I am the Lord in verse 29, when I make the land a desolation. So when you see before 1948 that the land was a desolation, does that provoke you to know that the Lord is the Lord? And it says, a land of desolation and waste because of all their abominations which they have committed. So that's through verse 29. Let's keep going. Let's go to verse 30. But as for you, send a man, your fellow citizens, who talk about you by the walls and in the doorways of the houses, speak to one another, each to his brother, saying, come now and hear what the message is which comes forth from the Lord. They come to you saying, as people come and sit before you as my people and hear your words, but they do not do them, for they do the lustful desires expressed by their mouth, and their heart goes after their gain. So look at this. Behold, you are to them like a sensual song by one who has a beautiful voice and plays well on an instrument, for they hear your words, but they do not practice them. There is a level of deception that we can have, is that we hear the word of God as entertainment, but there is no obedience. Why do you call me, Jesus says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but not do what I say? Look at that. This is the idea that we're seeing in Ezekiel. They love it. Look, he even describes, they hear your voice as a sensual, in other words, a sensational or a song. In other words, a comforting song by one who has a beautiful voice and plays well on an instrument, for they hear your words, but they do not practice them. This was the state of Israel when Jerusalem was captured, and they were listeners, but not doers. And we need to learn from this. God has a nation, God has a bride. And I guarantee this, God is refining his bride so that we will not be hearers of the word, but we will also be doers of the word also, hearers and doers of the word. So think through this scripture and learn from our older brother, you might say. Learn from those who've gone on before us. Where do we need not to say, well, man, church is so comforting, it's so good, it's like a great song, but then we go out, we live exactly the opposite in the things that God calls an abomination to him. So the last verse says this, so when it comes to pass, as surely as it will, then they will know that a prophet has been in their midst. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do pray that we can learn from Israel, and we do pray that we acknowledge that the land was desolate for many, many, many years. We do know that it was not a land that glorified you. It would come ebb and flow even during the Roman Empire, during Jesus's time, which would be after this. And then after 70 AD, and the temple was destroyed again, and it was desolate again. And God, we know that you've been working on Israel because it's your land and it's your nation and they're your people. We understand that, God. And we want to learn from them today, God, not to be just hearers of the word of God, but also to be doers of the word of God. Let us not just get pleasure in going to church and not allow it to affect and infect and affect our hearts, God. Change us from the inside out, God. Move upon us, God. We don't need religion. We need that relationship with you through your word, through your spirit, through your power, through all that you have for us, God. Would you change Washington State like never before, God? Would you move on us like never before, God? Would you go before us, God? Let your word go out. God, give the shepherds and the pastors of this state over to you, God, that they may preach the whole counsel of your word. Would righteousness, holiness, and peace rise up within the public square, God? Would you change us, God? We repent. We repent of being hearers of the word and not doers. In Jesus' name, amen. Get out there and defend and advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach, but you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard.